You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July 22nd, 2020, we may see worse conditions involving COVID-19 moving forward, and we may not. But we are seeing from the mainstream media hyping quickly how fast the cases are being reported, pointing out that it took months to reach 3 million COVID cases confirmed in the U.S., and within 2 weeks we might add another million. We are, of course, conducting more tests than ever before. And the CDC had already said, if you freeze in place where you are right now, do not move. And we sampled everyone standing frozen where they are. 10%, up to 10% of the U.S. population might already have COVID-19. And they've got the symptoms. They're not showing anything from it. They're just fine. But don't let that get the way in the fear-mongering that the left is trying to push in your face. I'm not saying don't be concerned. I'm just saying keep perspective. In the meantime, the administration is moving forward, has an almost $2 billion deal with Pfizer and BioNTech for doses of their experimental COVID-19 vaccine. Once it gets FDA approval, once they get it and they have it available, it will be given to U.S. citizens for free. President Trump holding one of his first news conferences on COVID for some time. He had stopped them because he said it's turning into nothing more than mass media trying to attack me on anything and everything I say. We're not getting anything useful out of it. And so they demanded he do more. And so then he does, and CNN and NN doesn't even bother covering the thing. And they were among the ones complaining he wasn't doing it. And the president did say, using a mask, wear a mask if you can't socially distance. He's never said don't use one. He's been saying make your own decision. And he uses it, he says, as needed. And that's kind of the way I do it. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is claiming, apparently, that the Chinese Communist Party bought and paid for the director of the World Health Organization to be silent and buy their story about what was happening with the virus as it came out of Wuhan. And Secretary of State Pompeo says there are a lot of dead Britons because of that little deal. In Chicago, at least 14 injured following a mass shooting outside a funeral home. And yet the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, insists, I do not want any federal troops in my city. We know what we're doing. And she says those would be Donald Trump's troops. I don't want them here. They're not Donald Trump's troops. They're federal troops, and they could help you. But you apparently hate Trump more than you love your own city and your citizens. Same noise from Portland, of course, upset that federal troops have been in Portland. And even here comes former Vice President Joe Biden saying that the federal agents are attacking, quote, peaceful protesters in Portland. While he's been locked down in his basement, has he not watched one TV news story about the violence in Portland? Protesters showing up with all kinds of weapons, their own shields and face masks, throwing anything and everything they can at police, attacking them. And don't forget this. Former Attorney General Eric Holder getting in on this federal troops in U.S. cities. He's now saying what we also need to be worried about. These paramilitary forces, federal troops included, might be used to suppress voting this November, trying to intimidate and create fear. Who's creating the fear? That would be the left. The administration has ordered a Chinese consulate shut down. Senator Marco Rubio said that's good because that consulate, operated by the Chinese in Houston, was nothing more than a massive spy center. Dateline Montana, a man initially charged with more than 60 counts of child sex abuse, now getting a deferred one-year sentence, agreeing to a plea deal. Who the hell thought that was a good idea? I say put that kind of guy in a room for fathers. President Trump, by the way, the other night in a first ever virtual fundraiser, raised more than $20 million. $20 million. Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf's house was vandalized the other day. There were messages spray painted on her house, defund the police. So she called Oakland Police Department to come investigate vandalizing, stating defund the police on her house. The Oakland mayor, here's where the irony comes in. The Oakland mayor is a Democrat. And so many Democrats are all about defunding police. Somebody vandalizes her house. What is the first thing she does? Call the police. Defund the police.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This is a dangerous road for us to go down. We're not going to have people that don't know our streets engaging in clearly unconstitutional conduct operating at will in our city. That is chaos. That is lawlessness.
That is lawlessness. The words of the Chicago Mayor Lightfoot. She would recognize lawlessness just by looking at the numbers of homicides and shootings on a daily basis in her city. And just yesterday, a funeral service at a funeral home, attacked by gunmen coming by in a car, opening fire. There were original reports 14 were injured. I've now seen an update that 15 were injured. Some might be critical. At least 60 shell casings were recovered from the scene. Bullets coming not only from the vehicle driving by, but apparently some of those in the funeral home are stepping outside, pulled out their weapons and fired at the car driving away. In fact, it crashed halfway up the block. Occupants got out and ran in different directions. The funeral was for a guy that had been shot and killed July 14th. He was shot in a drive-by shooting. So police were already kind of thinking, you know, this gang violence, we might have another retaliation. And sure enough, there it was. Now, I don't know how many police were there or even in the area at the time. There's no indication they were. And the mayor apparently is doing a good job of protecting her city. And with that shooting and all the others that have been going on, the head of the police chiefs union decided, I need to reach out to President Trump. And that's where Mayor Lightfoot heard about this request going to Trump. Hey, we need federal troops sent in to help us because we don't have any city leadership. They're not doing what they need to. So again, listen to Mayor Lightfoot and an extended piece of what you just heard as to what she was so fired up about was not the crime in her city, but the fact that Trump might send in federal troops.
We've got an unhinged leader of the Fraternal Order of Police who is craven and trying to generate attention. This is a dangerous road for us to go down. We're not going to have people that don't know our streets engaging in clearly unconstitutional conduct operating at will in our city. That is chaos. That is lawlessness.
As if you don't already have chaos and lawlessness. And it's non-unconstitutional. Let's stop that right now. If a city police, a state police, cannot protect its citizens or is not willing to do so, the Insurrection Act can be activated and the president can send in troops to make sure there's peace and order and the civilians are protected and the property is protected. And when it comes to federal buildings, you don't need the Insurrection Act. You can send in federal agents anyway. They are under a charge to protect federal facilities. And there's a lot of latitude and leeway for the president to do this. He's done it in Portland. And, of course, you hear again from the Democrats, like the Dem Mayor Wheeler in Portland. They're coming in here. They're taking over our streets. They're creating violence. They didn't create the violence. It wouldn't have been then there if you had put a stop to the violence that was happening in your streets in Portland. And now let's look at Chicago. And the mayor wants to insist that the letter that was sent by the head of the police union to the president saying, I think we need help in here, that the leader of the police union is unhinged. Well, John Canestra, who is the police chief union leader, said, you want to talk about unhinged?
The mayor likes to use the word unhinged. The ironic part is that the mayor became unhinged. I wish I could show you the text messages that she sent me over the weekend as soon as she found out that I had sent the request to President Trump. I mean, she was the one who became totally unhinged, unprofessional, childish. It was really pathetic for a leader of a city.
I think so. And not only that, it just reaffirms that she hates Trump more than she loves her city and her citizens. And it's just not the police union chief. You know, officers in the ranks are saying, it's getting too dangerous out here. We're not getting the support we need. We can't be where we need to all the time. We're being called to scenes only to find out we've been set up in an ambush. Illinois State Police is also getting upset with it in the Chicago area. They have said they've had 62 shootings on Chicago area expressways as of July 21st, as of yesterday, 62 shootings. More than half of them, they say, on just two roadways, Interstate 57 and the Dan Ryan Expressway. You know anything about Chicago going in there? You may have been on one or more of those roads. And the Illinois State Police realize we need to do something else, put a stop to this. So they're asking for more cameras, license plate readers, so maybe we can get something on video because we can't be everywhere all the time. And then you have the shooting outside a funeral home, Chicago's South Side. And I just found, I thought I'd seen it, I just found it, and they say there was police presence at the time. Police were in the area. It does not appear that any police opened fire at the shooters in the car going by, nor were any police officers hit. Several targets of the shooting amongst the funeral, the mourners, did open fire and fire back at the drivers going by. And, of course, the idea that maybe if you don't have enough support there and to get some control for you that we send in federal troops to help you, they're really there to help you, to help you. But the Chicago mayor doesn't want that because it would mean Trump would be there. And she even calls them Trump's troops. They're not Trump's troops. They are U.S. federal troops. He's the commander-in-chief, that's all. Do you think if Obama were still in the White House right now and all this was going on in Chicago, do you think if he said, I'm going to send in some federal troops, he wouldn't even ask, he wouldn't have to be asked, he'd just do it, and do you think they would be upset and saying, we don't want them on our streets, they don't know our streets, you're going to create more mayhem and violence? Do you think they would say that? The answer is no. But because it's Trump. I mean, I want to share something with you that happened the other day, and I just haven't had time to deal with it. You got CNN's Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo joking and laughing around because as we've had all this violence and the rioting in the cities, and maybe federal troops are needed, they think it's a joke. Listen.
Democratic cities are in chaos right now. Is this what you want from Joe Biden? And they're going to take your country away, and they're taking down the statues. And
crime is rising as they defund police.
Oh, my gosh, it's so bad, and they're defunding police.
They think it's funny, don't they? Don Lemon says he knows what's wrong, as he suggested the other night. He said, I know what the problem is, the rise in Chicago crime. Oh, tell us, Don. Don Lemon Fruitcake, tell us what's the reason. Why do we have so much violence in Chicago? As he was again taking a handoff from Chris Cuomo, wrapping up his program, going to the Don Lemon Fruitcake program. Lemon said, listen, there's spikes in crime. Real work needs to be done. I lived in Chicago for a while. Every night when I lived in Chicago, there's a crime story, a shooting story. I've been doing stories about crime at this network for so long. I'm glad people are paying attention to it, but it's been an issue for a long time. And you know what one of the biggest issues is? The availability of guns. And you don't hear it from some people. Really? The availability of guns? And no one's complaining about it? We have all complained about it. Your city, Chicago, had lockdown laws and make it very hard for any gun sales. In fact, I think most of the dealers had to move outside city limits. You don't want citizens to be armed to protect themselves. But I don't care what laws you put on the book. The gangsters, the thugs, are going to get their guns one way or the other. It's not the availability of guns. It's the ones using them. Those using them. You could put a million guns in a plaza, just sitting there in a plaza in middle Chicago. And as long as no one is going over to pick one up, those guns are not doing a thing. The availability of guns involves more than just it's a gun control issue. It's not a gun control issue. Numerous law experts have pointed out when you ask them what's behind the violence in Chicago, they don't say the guns. You know what they say? Gangs. They say gangs are the issue. One expert who's a former FBI agent assigned to Chicago gangs said the root causes of gangs are the reason you got all of this crime. Gun violence, because that's the weapon of choice. In 2012, the head of the Chicago Police Department Office of Crime Control Strategies estimated there had to be at least, that's in 2012, 60 gangs splitting into roughly 600 wings. That's 2012. Now, how do you think those numbers have changed since then? It is not the availability of guns, it's the gangsters. And they're going to get their gun if they steal it. They're certainly not applying for them legally. A 2017 joint intel report emphasized that Chicago murder problems are compounded by a steady supply of drugs from Mexican drug cartels going to the gangs, the Chicago street gangs. Yet you've got Don Lemon saying, oh, I know what the issue is. It's the availability of guns. I think where you have to find some of the answer, and I don't know if it's going to happen in its entirety as it should, but it's at least an effort. You obviously need better and more police, and if it means federal agents to help out, I would say bring them in, help protect us. But they want to make it political, saying if they come in, it looks like Donald Trump is taking control of our city. Well, you go ahead and continue your funerals and tell me how that works for you. Pastor Edgar Rodriguez of New City Fellowship is now organizing prayer walks after the increase of gun violence in Chicago. Prayer walks. The pastor said it's time for us to rise up. This is the church's moment to stand up and lay down all other languages of networks and denominations, and as brothers and sisters adopted by the Father because of the good news we believe in, we have to come together and stand together. So on July 13th, that pastor and two others started walking in a park area. And they began to have additional walks and have more people join them. And they say they plan to continue these prayer watches, or marches, I should say, through September, focusing on different neighborhoods. Offering peace and prayer and hope. And many in the Chicago area would probably love it, but some might be even afraid to go outside and certainly afraid to gather in such a walk because you have one of these gang groups that decide, hey, you wanna make some bones with our gang? Go shoot out the pastor and the rest of those walking. It's the gangs that need to be controlled. I wish this pastor the very best. I'll try to book him for a future program. I'd like to talk to him directly. I will take a break when we come back. I told you that they have closed down by order of the U.S. government to shutter a Chinese consulate in Houston because it was a spy operation. I'm going to take a closer look at that, then set up our guest coming up later in the hour, Fred Flights, the president, CEO of Center for Security Policy, talking about that issue and also how what we can learn from the current pandemic and China and bioweapons.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In Washington today, perhaps even as I'm speaking, we have a Senate Foreign Relations Committee holding a hearing examining U.S.-China relations. And I'm sure at the top of the topics today would be the U.S. ordering a Chinese consulate in Houston to be shut down. And you have Senator Marco Rubio, Republican of Florida, saying, yeah, needed to be shut down. He said that consulate in Houston is a massive spy center. Forcing it to close is long overdue. He said it needed to happen. Well, of course, China is insisting, no. We didn't do anything wrong, and the U.S. has made a bad decision, and you will pay for it. Of course, we already have delicate balances with China, reference trade, and COVID-19 coming from China, Wuhan, China, as China lied about how it could be transmitted from person to person to the World Health Organization and told us to buy the same story for a while, giving it a chance to spread faster. But this situation, apparently in Houston with the consulate, now we're shutting the door on it. And apparently once the word came down, we're going to shut down that consulate, several folks inside started gathering up documents, going outside to burn cans and setting fire to documents. Firefighters arrived because there were reports of smoke in the area and flames, and they could not enter the grounds to put them out. They had to just stand there while more and more papers were added to be burned. And, of course, now China might indeed take some retaliation. For instance, it might decide to shut down our consulate in Hong Kong. We'll see. But the State Department intent was, quote, to protect American intellectual property and Americans' private information. And that what this consulate was doing was stealing and violating our sovereignty. And in fact, the full statement from the State Department, the U.S. will not tolerate China's violations of our sovereignty and intimidation of our people, just as we not tolerated its unfair trade practices, theft of American jobs, and other egregious behavior. President Trump insists on fairness and reciprocity in U.S.-China relations. I've got a guest coming up in the next segment. I want to touch on that issue with them as well. But also, since I did mention a moment ago the COVID-19, again, China virus, despite Nancy Pelosi now wanting the Dems to start calling it the Trump virus, it came from China, Wuhan, China, as we've stated out repeatedly. That's not being xenophobic, is not trying to come up with a name just to make somebody else look bad. That's the origin of it. And Fred Flights is with the president and CEO of the Center for Security Policy. His organization has been doing a detailed study on lessons we can learn from the current pandemic. And part of it has to be with dealing with it, reference, what if it had been a bio threat? And dealing with China and other countries that might try to use something like this in the future. This is an interview you do not want to miss. First, I want to hear what Fred has to say about us closing the consulate, and then we'll get into more details about bio threat lessons that can be learned from the current pandemic. If you've heard Fred Flights on here before, you know the expertise he brings to the table. All right, we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Fred Flights.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We're joined by Fred Flights. We've had him on numerous times before. 19 years with the CIA, a total of 25 years with various U.S. government national security positions, now the president and CEO for the Center for Security Policy. Fred, welcome aboard again, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
I want to get to a piece of book that you guys have been put out. You want to hear details of this book because this is possibly our future when it comes to the warning and a heads up about bio threats. But first of all, Fred, before I get to that, I'd like your take on the decision to shut down the Chinese consulate in Houston.
Well, it's a big deal when you shut down a diplomatic facility of another nation. And we know, Larry, that major states, they all conduct spying out of their embassies and consulates. But China really crossed the line here. Apparently, it was involved in a huge amount of theft of intellectual property. They've been caught trying to sneak people in and out of the country with fake passports and visas. Students have come into the country who were not really students. They were really with Chinese intelligence or with the Chinese military. And I think the Trump administration said enough is enough. And I might add that the Chinese really can't retaliate against this for the closing of it because this consulate is a counterpart to the U.S. consulate in Wuhan, which we already closed. So we're actually leveling the score. China should say they're going to retaliate when we're actually leveling the score on our diplomatic facilities.
I'm glad you pointed that out because I've seen China already saying, suggesting that our consulate in Hong Kong could be shuttered.
Well, I think that's probably coming anyway, and they may use this as an excuse to do it. But, you know, if we're going to be accurate and fair, they actually have an extra consulate. And it's a consulate. I mean, did you see the reports that the Houston Fire Department went outside the consulate. The Chinese are burning so many documents there. Well, this is supposed to be a trade consulate. We know they're doing some spying, but they must have been doing massive spying if the fire of burning documents attracted the fire department.
Yeah, I pointed that out in the previous segment that firemen were called because of the smoke and the flames, and burn containers were set up, and everything was being dumped in, and they could not enter the grounds, had to just stand there and watch them burn whatever they wanted to. Now, same question, though, real quick. If we have known this is going on with this concert for so long, why take as long as we have to decide to shutter it? And is this the only Chinese consulate in the U.S. now? I thought they still had one in New York and D.C.
There's several. I know there's one in San Francisco. I don't know how many they have. They probably have one in Chicago. I don't know if they have one in St. Louis. You know, the problem is when you close facilities like this, the retaliation, and they close a consulate in China. Now, consuls serve a lot of purposes, and one of them is that they help American citizens in a foreign country. So if the Chinese were to close a consulate in Hong Kong or maybe in Shanghai in response to this, Americans who get in trouble in those cities are going to suffer.
Now, you mentioned also the connection to Wuhan. Pompeo apparently is being quoted as saying that China bought the World Health Organization leader, and because of that, they bought his, I mean, he continued to peddle their story that this virus is not that threatening, cannot be passed person to person, and Pompeo's saying there are a lot of dead Britons because of this delay and this little bribe scheme. And I would say Americans as well, but go ahead.
We talk about that at length in defending against biothreats, how the World Health Organization actively helped the Chinese government's deception about their responsibility for the virus and delayed the world vital time several weeks. If the world had that time, hundreds of thousands of people would be alive today. That's not really up for debate. What we're debating now, and this is very controversial, Gordon Chang has a chapter in this book. He argues the Chinese government knew or should have known that its actions was going to infect the world with this deadly disease.
Now, you just heard Fred Flights mention Gordon Chang. He is one of these contributing. Fred was the editor of a book that's now coming out from the Center for Security Policy titled Defending Against Bio Threats. More detailed title is What We Can Learn from the Coronavirus Pandemic to Enhance U.S. Defenses Against Pandemics and Biological Weapons. Very extensive piece. I did not get my copy yet. Went to the wrong address. You got 11 leading national security experts on that very subject, Fred.
Yeah, we're really lucky. I'm sorry I sent that to the wrong address, Larry. And if you don't get it, I'll send you another one.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there's an author here you may not have heard of that I'm very excited about. His name is Ken Allebeck. He is a former Soviet biological weapons scientist. And he compares the coronavirus outbreak to a variety of biological weapons, including some he experimented on when he worked for the Soviet Union. He compares coronavirus to smallpox and what lessons can we learn about a disease that is communicated so easily human to human? And he says preparing defenses against man-made and natural pandemics is extremely difficult. I might add, his chapters are hard to read, but I'm hoping they are going to help policymakers put together better policies to defend us against these threats.
Well, the question had been from the beginning, was this a bioweapon or was it man-made or did it just happen in the lab and they lost control of it or were they trying to make something and lost control of it? Does he believe that
those are questions that we can't answer because China will not allow an objective investigation and objective inspectors into Wuhan.
You guys are also doing this via a biosecurity webinar series. I'm going to, in a few moments, folks, I'll give you a couple of times or let Fred fill you in on a couple of dates coming up where you might be able to pick it up. But what about the book itself, Fred? Again, this is a very extensive piece on lessons we can learn from this pandemic, which has gripped and shut down our nation. I mean, who would have thought something like this could bring our nation to the standstill it did and still trying to ramp up now? The loss of jobs, the economy shattered when it was rocking along so well.
You know, we weren't prepared for it. Some experts knew this was theoretically possible, but even Anthony Fauci underestimated the seriousness of this disease. That's why it's so frustrating to see Democratic politicians who continue to use this as a political weapon. If Joe Biden or Barack Obama was in office, we would have had at least the same outcome. And I think it would have been worse because Obama or Biden would never have cut off travel from China, which I think was a very important and very unpopular move that Donald Trump made at the end of February when he saw how bad the situation was getting.
Well, and in fact, to that point, Biden himself and other Dems said, you're shutting down those flights because you're xenophobic. I mean, you're trying to pick on the yellow people now.
That's right. It's just incredible. And you don't see the media reminding Biden of that now. And it's an important, this was a moment for leadership. And Trump made a decision as our president that was unpopular. And the major media didn't like it. Nancy Pelosi didn't like it. Chuck Schumer didn't like it. Did Trump make mistakes? No doubt. Every Western leader made mistakes. But I think, you know, if we look at the whole record, I think he did pretty well.
Well, you know, Nancy Pelosi now is coining a new term she hopes gets picked up in the Lib echo chamber. This is the Trump virus.
I mean, it's just utter stupidity for her to say that. I mean, she will not hold China responsible for this. China, the president's calling it China virus. I don't like that because I don't want to see Chinese Americans or Asian Americans discriminated against. I think we should call it the coronavirus, maybe the Wuhan virus.
Oh, that's China. That's China, Fred. That's China. You say Wuhan. I mean,
I know, but it's just my personal preference that I think we have to use the right terms. But I think the issue of ignorant people discriminating or mistreating Asian Americans is a real issue, and I don't want to see that happen.
Well, I will agree with you to that point. In fact, I have no problem with it because that is the basis where it came from. It came from Wuhan, China. And with the president the other day mentioning China virus, maybe that's why Nancy decided to start calling it the Trump virus. But this book and what you guys are presenting, defending against bio threats, you make it clear that every citizen needs to learn these lessons because this is now what's going to happen 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, if we're still here, that is.
And we talk about what has to be done to improve our defenses. We, you know, first of all, and I know you know this, China has a monopoly on medicine, the medical supplies. We have to address that. We need stockpiles in case this kind of thing happens again. And I think we all know that leadership at the state, local, and federal levels was a mess in dealing with this virus. And we have to find a way to have a unified response to stop this, because you know the virus may be eradicated in one area where the government has tough measures, but not in another area, like in New York, where they're sending coronavirus patients to nursing homes. There has to be some unified approach to this at all levels of government, so a disease like this doesn't spread so easily ever again.
Okay, very quickly, you guys are putting on a biosecurity webinar series. Where do they find it? I see one coming up on July 27th, how to develop reliable biodefenses, and another one on July 29th. Where are the folks supposed to find these bioseminars?
If you go to securefreedom.org, we have a list of these. The next one will be with Dr. Albeck. It's going to be fabulous. And on the 29th of July, we're going to do one on what terrorist groups may have learned from this pandemic.
And again, sir, would you repeat where, because it kind of broke up?
Our website is securefreedom.org. That's the Center for Security Policy website, securefreedom.org. And our book, Defending Against Biothreats, is for sale right now in Kindle and paperback version on Amazon.com.
All right. I appreciate it. Secure Center. Give me the website one more time.
Securefreedom.org.
Securefreedom.org. Thanks, Fred. We'll make sure we put it up on our posting as well. And as always, I appreciate your time and bringing this to our attention, sir.
Good to be here. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks again. Fred Flights. That's frightening, folks. I either get the book and or at least take part in some of those seminars, take a look at them. Planned Parenthood issues when we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I told you at the beginning of our program today, almost 2 hours ago, a blockbuster piece of news coming out of Planned Parenthood that shakes the very foundation of Planned Parenthood. It echoes a point that we have made over and over on this program and others as well. I'm not trying to claim special knowledge or anything of that nature. It's just that it's been ignored by those on the left because they love Planned Parenthood so much. They love the fact that women can abort babies at will, to the extent that new legislation across the nation allows a woman to decide, even as the baby is being born in some cases, to say, I don't want it, abort it. Many states, of course, have tried to impose various restrictions. Sometimes they're challenged, sometimes they're not. Sometimes a challenge holds, sometimes it doesn't. I don't have time to get into all that, but I've told you repeatedly, the whole point of Planned Parenthood, as created by the founder, Margaret Sanger, was eugenics, basically to rid the world of minorities and those less desirable. And they sold this storyline inside churches using pastors who bought into the fact that, well, you know, you have a lot of women in your communities getting pregnant. We can help them for not being, you know, having all these babies. And Margaret Sanger had already made it clear in several times. Her point was to basically deal with those that we are consider undesirable. The abortion facility in New York City is named after her, Margaret Sanger. It's at the intersection of Bleecker and Mott Streets in Manhattan. Now, the Planned Parenthood of Greater New York announcing it will remove her name because of, quote, her harmful connections to the eugenics movement. They've been ripping down Confederate statues and everything else. Now they're recognizing, we're going to do something about this. The Planned Parenthood chair in New York says the removal of Sanger's name from our building is both a necessary and overdue step. Big deal. Overdue? No kidding. Overdue step to reckon with our legacy and acknowledge Planned Parenthood's contributions, please listen here, to historical reproductive harm within communities of color. And she adds, the chairman of the New York Planned Parenthood states, I'm reading her statement here, Margaret Sanger's concerns and advocacy for reproductive health have been clearly documented, but so too has her racist legacy. There is an overwhelming evidence for Sanger's deep belief in eugenic ideology, which runs completely counter to our values at Planned Parenthood New York. This comes after a month after Planned Parenthood workers started accusing the CEO of the Planned Parenthood in New York of, quote, systemic racism and abuse, and called for her removal. And in the open letter listing their complaints about that woman, several also referred to Sanger. The workers writing, Planned Parenthood was founded by a racist white woman. That is a part of history that cannot be changed. I raise that point about Sanger and her history every time I've ever dealt with Planned Parenthood. And I did it again when Hillary Clinton was awarded a Planned Parenthood Sanger Award recognition, and she was so honored. And she spoke to the Planned Parenthood groups in that conference saying, I'm so thankful to have the Margaret Sanger Award. The Planned Parenthood Federation of America CEO wrote in a letter to the editor of the Wall Street Journal less than a year ago, complaining about someone depicting Sanger's involvement in a Negro project, an effort to curb blacks from reproducing. He said, that's callous and incorrect. Well, obviously it wasn't. Eugenics were being used to justify abortion from the beginning. Sanger more concerned about the, quote, more rebellious members of the black community, came up with, quote, we want to exterminate the Negro population. And they have. Do you have any idea how many millions black babies, I'm going to estimate minimum 15 million black babies aborted under the idea of woman's choice? Who knows? Who knows in the midst of those could have been a young man or woman to grow up to find a cure for the what ills this country and the world itself. We will never know because they never got a chance. I'm going to be spending more time on this. This is a blockbuster. I would have spent more time on the beginning, but I had too many things in play. I will focus on this in more detail again tomorrow. Planned Parenthood acknowledging, yeah, our founder was a racist and wanted to kill blacks. How does that sit with you liberals now who have been all about, quote, women's choices and tearing down and ripping down racist Confederate generals or anything else you want to do? Where are the riots in the streets over this? Let your friends and neighbors know that we're on the air. I do appreciate it. Spread the word for us. And for tomorrow, we'll be back again. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.